Why does this work? It's 1 million views every time. What's happening? If you are watching this video, you're one of the good ones. But recently, Twitch has taken a turn on content that you may have noticed began with some pretty tiny space aliens in a game called Among Us. Everyone knows that Among Us basically took over the Earth in October, November, and December and of 2020. But I think the cooler story here is about how this is changing the game of Twitch and the platform as a whole. So let's start. Wouldn't be anything without stats. Wouldn't be anything about without Notepad. Here we are here to learn and be the best we can be. That is what we do here on this stream. So let's talk about it. So what you're seeing here is the peak daily viewers for Among Us from August 2020 to Jan 2021, current present day. What is absolutely insane about this was really a game where the developers had like 15 users on Steam. And all of a sudden, like a couple of broadcasters played it. And I think Soda Poppin is the one that's like sort of like famously responsible for this. And in a way, he kind of started this whole thing, which I'm going to get into, because this is a talk about like where I think the meta of when I say the meta of Twitch, I'm going to explain that next. But we're starting with the Among Us talk because it significantly sets up our next principle. So started with like 15 users and goes up to hundreds of thousands, millions of watch hours. All of a sudden, all these broadcasters who have never interacted before are interacting and collabing constantly. And this game, these developers, it just takes off, right? And so when I say like a meta on Twitch, I mean that in a sense that it's really important to understand that a meta on Twitch like didn't really exist before this. There were pockets of it, but it was really different. Now we have an actual defined meta on Twitch, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that. It's a meta in the same way that like World of Warcraft does patch balancing, where it's like, oh, mages are strong now. Like this is like the same type of thing, and I'm going to explain why. This is a very cool graph. What it is, what you're looking at here, is not the Eve sovereignty map, which I know what it looks like, okay? What it is the pockets of people on Twitch and where they exist in the spectrum. So what you're seeing here is an amalgamation of all of the top broadcasters on Twitch and the respective places that they live. It's an algorithm that runs end-to-end with users that, so like if you watch XQC in the center here, right, then you also probably watch Trainwrecks or have like a high crossover with Mizkif, Soda Poppin. And if you look at these things, it's pretty intuitive, right? Like it makes sense that this exists, right? You look over here, like this is the Nick Merckx crowd. Well, Tfue's pretty close to that, right? Like this all makes sense, okay? So generally the way to understand this is that there are two really big pockets at play as to what is happening on Twitch right now. The first one is this category, which represents about 30 to 40% of total viewership on Twitch. Over here is the Spanish streamers. These guys are busted. You notice their circles are even bigger than XQC's circles because individually, these guys are the powerhouses. These are the dudes that are leading Twitch right now. The Spanish streamers are running Twitch right now. People think it's XQC and they think it's like streamers like Sukuna and stuff because these guys, or like Hassan or people like that. But a lot of that has to do with where you live in the ecosystem relative to the time that you kind of spend doing XYZ, okay? So for a lot of people, like Sukuna over here may seem like he runs the website because he's decently removed from XQC. And if you don't watch like a lot of diverse broadcasters, you're going to get a different idea of what Twitch is. And there's people over here in like this green category over here in like weird Russia land where people are watching like full animes and like entire episodes of The Office. There's all kinds of weird shit going on over here where you may not even know about a lot of the stuff that's happening over here. So I like this. I like this chart because it explains what I mean by a Twitch meta very well. And the what we're going to be talking about mostly, although there is some crossover over here as well, and the Spanish streamers get into it as well, is the it concerns this purple and pink crowd, which effectively makes up about half of Twitch. It's a lot of people. and how they are, I don't know if I would call it evolving. Evolving is a little bit of like a strong word, because I'm going to be entirely honest with you. This entire talk that I'm doing right now, this is not the kind of content that I really get jazzed to watch, okay? Like, I'm not really big on, like, I just don't sit down on Twitch and I'm like, oh boy, it's time to watch 10 people play Rust. Like, I can't do it, man. I'm not saying it's bad content, because I know a lot of you watch it, but it's just, for me, what I do is I watch content that I want to have grow me, or in some way, or is a relationship that I have with that particular individual because I think their personality is unique or charming or something like that, and I want to interact with that person because I'm interested in their life or I'm interested in their personality. And many of the people that I used to watch that never did, have now changed into this meta, and I actually can't watch them as much anymore because of this. We're going to go through all that. So this is, now I think we kind of covered and broke down like what the meta is and like kind of explaining what a meta is. Now let's talk about how it evolved. So it started with Among Us, and this game changed Twitch, I think, forever. And I'm going to show you some stats as to why. The second thing that happened after Among Us, and that's to say that like Among Us is still like a pretty significant driver of views compared to what it was, which was nothing at the time. But let's take a look at this graph, which is a much shorter timeline. This is the 3rd of January to present day, the 10th. It's currently the 12th, but this is a really good timeline made by M-Pesa, which shows us just exactly the power that I'm talking about of this meta. And then I'm going to kind of break down and explain that meta. So the viewership on Rust right here on the 3rd started at about 400,000. I believe that's either concurrent viewers or watched hours. Emp can probably tell me for sure. Server gets announced right here. I want to stress that the server wasn't open. There was no way to play the game with the server. And when we talk about the server, so we're talking about a offline TV server that was announced that there would be these big streamer collabs. Next day, it spikes three times higher watch hours. Okay, watch hours go up three times higher, two times higher, two times higher. Server opens, watch hours skyrocket five times, go throughout the day, each day even higher. So what does this show us? This shows us Notepad time, baby. There is a new meta on Twitch, and that meta is the collab meta. The collab meta is the top 100 to 500 streamers doing content together, usually in the form of, probably always in the form of, some kind of game involves RP. Usually like stakes or risk or whatever, personality deduction, and possibly like espionage, right? Or like that kind of thing, okay? And one of the questions you're going to have in this talk, Devin, is the collab meta here to stay? Especially if you're like me and you like to watch individual streamers. Oh yeah, well, big important one.
Drama,
big squiggly lines. Baby, collab meta is here to stay, man. It is my official opinion that the collab meta is here to stay in a huge way. I think this is the new meta of Twitch for the foreseeable future. And the reason is because streamers are so lazy. It's so difficult to get on. Speaking from a person who does this every day, this is not even my freaking job, right? Like, this is like, my job is to run an agency. My job is to run a company. This is like my part-time thing. I don't even spend 15 hours a week doing this. And it's a ton of effort to every day come up and be like, man, what the hell am I going to talk to you guys about, right? How do I make this interesting? How do I make this engaging? Like, if you want to make this if you want to go every day to a broadcast and you want to make it about something, that is very hard to do. Look at the very few streamers that do that, like Ludwig, right? They work very hard offline, take a lot of time to do this. So the first reason why collab meta works is because it is extremely easy to do for a streamer. Streamers don't like working hard. The vast majority of them have no idea what they're doing outside of broadcasting, okay? And so if they get the chance to get high viewership for a relatively low amount of input, then they are going to take that opportunity every single time. The collab meta works, secondly, because viewers like it. Viewers like it because it's a constant source of drama, information, and interaction between broadcasters. And we've talked a lot about growth on Twitch insofar as that's concerned. But one of the best ways to grow a channel is to do collaboration. And this has been around forever, okay? This is not a new concept. Collaboration on Twitch is not a new concept. Streamers do things with streamers, and they get more viewers because of it. I do my deep dive shows with one streamer a week usually, and that has been a very significant thing for this channel. I also help run the number one podcast on Twitch, which has been a significant thing, and on, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's a lot of that. However, what we're seeing with this is a totally different thing. This is like YouTubers, basically anyone in this chart who hits in these circles and is significant enough to appear here is going to be doing this. And it's actually crazy how much this is happening and how much these communities are cross-pollinating. Over the course of just a few months, we've seen Twitch consolidate a huge amount. You might have seen a tweet from me the other day, which was about Greg over on the Spanish side of Twitch. And what I posted was a chart that showed that Greg yesterday, as of the time of this talk, had 2.3 million viewers. Now, the real interesting thing to know about this number is that at the time represented 36% of Twitch's total audience. So what does that teach you? It teaches you that Twitch is actually a hella small place. Holy shit. If we have 6 million people on the platform and the normal amount of people is 4 to 5 million, the size of Twitch is so vastly small compared to other platforms. That's a very, very low number to be on. LinkedIn has more daily active users, much more daily active users. LinkedIn has about 45 million daily active users, about four times Twitch's daily active users. It has sometimes up to 80. So to put this in perspective, when we look at a graph like this, it gives you an idea of how small Twitch really is, because this is it. This is the viewership. You guys watching this live, this is you're it. For sure. Like, it's not that big. So one of the reasons why I say a lot of the time that, like, if you want to grow on a platform like this, like, using Twitch to do it is not a good bet. Unless you have something that's, like, really unique, it's going to be tough to do. So collaboration is the next logical thing to do, because if you collaborate, you basically maximize this audience. It's still a bunch of crabs in a small barrel, but you are driving users who are watching streams, and you're sort of just sort of distributing users. From a marketing standpoint, I'm always... from the mindset that you should be attracting new users to your broadcast or to your content or to your brand or to your business who are specific to you, because I think that breeds more loyalty. And you do that by creating interesting content and then having people invest in that. So the distance factor, the second, third, or fourth person who hears about you, but their primary person is some other broadcaster like XQC, is not going to be as devoted to you. But if somebody watches a YouTube video of yours and then, like, starts watching your stream because of it, that person will be way more invested in you, if that makes sense. The colors are arbitrary. I don't think they matter. It's just a nice source of grouping. Okay, the next reason this works is because, and this is something I don't entirely understand, I'm just going to tell you that it does work, okay? Is it is a nearly one-to-one share and popularity with other platforms. So Disguised Toast famously exemplified this when he made a YouTube, okay, he made a YouTube series. I can't make this up. He literally made videos that have the same title, except it is 10 IQ points higher, okay? 9980 IQ pacifist imposter. 9970 IQ pacifist. 9960 IQ toast. 9950 IQ charisma. 9940. Why does this work? It's 1 million views every time. What's happening? Like, how is he doing this, okay? This blew my mind to see. I'm like, what the f- is this? So it's like, you can literally do this stuff. You can literally go like 0% effort, and this is generating a million views. And whenever you don't understand something in marketing, okay, I've learned this lesson after years of doing this and building companies. Whenever you don't understand anything in marketing, the answer is children. It's always children. It's always children. This dude literally hacked the matrix. He's making the same YouTube video over and over again, titling it separately, a little bit separately, and making, like, on average with this kind of viewership at like gaming CPMs, he's making like probably about $7,000 to $8,000 per video. He's killing it, and he's uploading every single day. So there, streamers like Pokimane and streamers like Valkyrie and people like this is one to one with YouTube for whatever reason. Like, there's a very high amount of popularity in this collab. There's like no downside. So that's another reason why this is here to stay. And what we're gonna see happen is people are just gonna go game to game. It's going to play out infinitely. I don't know what's next. I can't know. Who knows? Rust is going to be around for a while. Rust is going to dip, and people are going to find reasons to hate it, and they're going to stop playing. But the blob brain of Twitch is, like, stuck on this new meta. And by the way, one of the really cool things you can do if you're interested in this kind of subject is take a platform like YouTube and look into how long YouTube has lived, okay? And then simultaneously, look at Twitch, and you'll find that a lot of what Twitch is doing just basically follows the YouTube meta that already happened. Like, a lot of people, they call me Nostradamus, right? Nostradamus is like a meme in this channel, because I predict all kinds of things. People are like, how do you predict these things? It's amazing. A lot of the time, I'm reading a newspaper from the future, and that newspaper is YouTube. So what was one of the big metas before this and was kind of the first meta on Twitch? Does anyone know? Okay, got it instantly. It's React meta. Exactly. I love you guys. So proud of you. Okay. Yeah, it's React meta. It's React meta. Where did React meta start? Can we recall a platform where everything was React meta for a while? I think the platform has something to do with tubes. I think YouTube it. Yeah, no, can't think of the platform. Don't know. But whatever that platform was, React content was it for a while. And then after React content, what happened? We got collaboration content. The next thing was YouTubers doing things together. Collaboration content on YouTube was massive. And now YouTube has reached a point where the user base is diversified enough that there is no meta. Some people would disagree with this but the people that disagree with it don't understand YouTube. Like, they don't understand the scope of it. Because, like, you might think that, like, we're in the dream meta. Like, we're in the Minecraft meta, for example, on YouTube, for example, right? But it's not. Like, that's a very small portion of the total audience that is on YouTube. Like, there is no meta on YouTube because YouTube is at a point algorithmically that it just recommends what you want to watch. So there's so many different diverse factors in YouTube that there's no, like, one dominating force. I don't know if Twitch will get there, though, because of, if you've listened to me talk a lot, the number of users that are present on the website doesn't beget that kind of growth the same way that YouTube does. Just not enough people. So this is another way of saying that I think we're stuck on the collab meta forever. And there's no reason for streamers not to do it. It's so, so powerful. If you pull up like a data sheet and you look at the channels that are streaming this right now and the most watched, I mean, their numbers are so crazy, right? Like, you have people like XQC that are pulling 148,000 viewers peak and holding. They're holding 120,000 viewers. Pokimane held 150,000 viewers on Rust, doing nothing. How? This is why, right? back to our number one concept, okay? Core rule in this community. What is it? Whenever you don't understand something in marketing, it's kids. It's a bunch of babies watching it. And then also it's just people are nailing in chat. That's what I was about to say. It's drops, right? So you can get your Ludwig hoodie, whatever, so you AFK in the channel. But these are insane numbers to put up for a game. And to some extent, a lot of developers are now getting wise to, I think Among Us, I don't speak to a lot of game developers, so this is conjecture. I'm not actually too sure that this is true. But I am going to guess that a lot of developers saw what happened with Among Us, and they were like, damn, Twitch can single-handedly, like, blow my game up. So if I focus my focus my development on drops and like rewarding Twitch viewers, which started all the way back with Tarkov. We covered that 6 months ago. I had a video called Our Drops Ruining Twitch. It was in regards to Valorant. We determined that they are ruining Twitch in a way. The whole ecosystem of how you develop games has changed because, like, as an indie game developer, you can single-handedly make your game successful if you get a good Twitch launch. And like Among Us has shown us that it doesn't matter how indie you are. Among Us was a studio of 3 people when it popped off, and every streamer played it. It just has to have the right formula. There will also be people who develop games simply to that end to try to capitalize on that. Why is XQC negative in followers gained in the last 7 days? Bots. You can't rely on followers gained a lot because bots like are plaguing this platform. XQC got like 2 or 3 million bots. So I don't look at, for major streamers, I never look at follower counts. Because if you look at the 30-day for XQC, he's gained 2.8 million followers, right? So obviously he hasn't gained that many followers. Those are not real people. But bots are a huge problem on Twitch, and most streamers don't have the technical know-how to remove them. There's a pretty easy tool to do it if you're savvy in such things, but most people don't know how to do it, or they don't care, that they can't be fucked. But I actually always remove follower bots from my channel because I think that follower amount is one of the most reliable ways. There's other ways to track this, though. You don't have to look at it over the scope of time. So another thing you can do is, like, you can do this, and we'll look at it from a day-to-day perspective, and this can kind of teach you, like, how well you're doing. Because these numbers can't be relied upon. These are bots that are deleting. And, like, there you go. So look at XQC's consistent amount of follower count. So on the 31st, he got 15,000. On the 1st, he got 14,000. This is kind of normally where he sits. And then look at this. It's 2.7 million in one day. So these are obviously bots, right? And in the same way, these are bots that Twitch is now deleting these accounts. But his actual follower count was more towards these passive numbers. It's also worth noting that once he started playing Rust, look at those follower counts going up, right? Those are people coming from YouTube. Those are people that are discovering the game. It also gives you a really interesting perspective because it's like, on a website with this kind of, you can always get discovered. There are people that are in this channel right now for the first time. Like, not everybody's heard of Devin Nash. Well, everyone's heard of me, but, you know, not everyone's heard of XQC. I can't really use myself in that example because, I mean, that would be unfair. Everyone's heard of me. But, like, XQC, there's still people learning about him every day, right? So this, like you can still get a lot of passive followers, like, no matter what you are. Like, you're never, like, completely saturated. So is YouTube helping Twitch grow? Yeah. It's actually even so far to say that YouTube is one of the primary drivers of Twitch growth because of this one-to-one relationship, which is super cool. All this is, this is very interesting data that we're seeing. So I'm not the kind of person that generally makes, like, judgment calls on, like, whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I don't personally prefer it. I wish that content was not collab content. And I kind of, like, pride myself on not being one of the people that, like, streams those kind of things. And, like, dude, like, if you're a broadcaster, the pull is so strong to just, like, DM Abe and be like, hey, man, and then, like, just play Rust and, like, it's so hard because it's so easy, like, and like, it's so free. Like, man, think about the exposure. It would be like being on podcasts all the time every day. Like, Ludwig is hearing about, like, Ludwig's whole chat is hearing about me, Mizkif, S-Fan, Asmongold. It's just, it's so, yeah, someone in chat just said you'd almost be dumb not to do it. You almost would be dumb not to do it. I might be dumb because I'm not doing it, but I just, I always try to keep in mind that it's like, streaming is not my primary job, never will be, and my goal is to make the most amount of positive impact as possible, to add the most amount of value as possible. So, like, that's not being on a server, you know, yelling about Rust for me personally. But I, at the same time, I'm not making a value judgment on it. I, like, that's for you to decide. What I am going to tell you is that this, do we have that joke image of where absolutely everything is Rust for like a zillion days? Or like, I don't know, Raxif, do you have that image? He might not have that image. But there's this image of like, I just remember it was like last weekend, I'm hanging out and I'm like, I'm going to watch some Twitch. Like, there's nothing going on. I open up my like discovery, the people that I'm following. I just like look down the list. It's like Rust. It's the, oh, he found it. God, you're a god. Here it is. This is the list. And I'm like, wow. Thank God that Twitch has so many diverse content choices. Excellent. I am so glad that I can choose what I wish to watch on this website, and that there are many streamers who are diverse in personality, doing many diverse things. What a wonderful world this is. It's beautiful that we have created this website about video games where we can watch many different kinds of video games. And there's nothing you can do. So, like, it's again, like, it's a perspective. Like, this is a following list of these people in the purple and pink category. But it's frustrating to log onto a website and to see this, because what I do is I turn it off and I go watch Netflix or I go like read a book or something, you know, look for something else to do, because I can't deal with it. It's not that it's bad per se. It's just that it's not good in my opinion, but that's for you to decide. Like, my job is to talk to you about it. Is this cool? Was this a good talk? The point is, I think that collab meta is here to stay, and it's really interesting to see how it came about, because if you really start thinking about it, you can actually see exactly why this works and exactly how people think about it. And it's also a cool perspective, because it actually gives you an idea of how small Twitch really is. And that is kind of one of the interesting things. And I have something like this is maybe something valuable, but like, if you are a viewer that is like me, that is troubled by this sort of change and shift in like Twitch meta, and you still want to watch Twitch and you love Twitch culturally, start checking out some of these other weird pockets. Go in here and see what these streamers are about. Because check this out. This is like so cool. Oh God. This is why I love like integrated communities and shit. If you only watch XQC, Soda Pop, and Trainwrecks, and I forgot to mention, I actually would be on here. I declined to be on it because my circle would be so big that I would, you know, obviously take up like the whole graph. So I would normally be like right here, like next to XQC and Trainwrecks, but I decided to not be on the graph because it was just a little bit like, I didn't want to do them that way. They're my friends and I didn't want to do it, to do them like that kind of injustice, because they'd feel kind of bad with how big I am. So if you're wondering why, I'm sure all of you are wondering why I'm not on this. And that's very obviously why. Yeah. So anyway, so if all you do is you watch XQC, Trainwreck, Soda, and Devin Nash, right? This is like the coolest thing I'm going to say. This is actually like the most amount of value in the talk. Are you ready? If all you do is you watch like Soda, XQC, Trainwreck, like you're kind of just in this crowd, which is a lot of people, right? Bounce over here, you're in a completely different universe. Bounce over here, you're in a completely different universe. Just go check out what this guy does. No brew, who knows? Like what's this guy do? Go over here, right? Go over here. And all of a sudden, Twitch will be a totally different experience for you. Now, you might hit another Rust stream. Like, if you go over here and you go to, like, Ebi's stream, like, it's just Rust in Spanish. It's just Rust with Ola, right? It's just, it's El Rusto. Like, it's a lot of the same thing over here in, like, this big category. But a lot of this stuff over here on, like, some of these fringes is different and is worth checking out if you're kind of interested in that sort of thing. So there can be, like, you can definitely kind of diversify it. I've kind of, like, found myself doing this a little bit more. So that I can kind of diversify and not go freaking insane watching Rust content all day. Okay? That's my talk. Hope you liked it. That's the collab meta. It's here to stay. We are stuck. But it is interesting how we got here and understanding why it works.